New York Times bestselling author Robin Cook is considered the master of the medical thriller, his name synonymous with the genre. Since he released Coma 35 years ago, he has delivered pulse-pounding works, including his latest, Nano, a trip into the relatively new science of nanotechnology, a science known very well in this region. Over the past few years, science has made incredible strides, but perhaps the area of greatest potential and greatest danger lies in nanotechnology. The science is built around concepts that are more enormous than the mind can imagine, yet smaller than the eye can see, according to Cook. This is the future of medicine and industry, a world where inconceivably tiny nanobots perform amazing tasks with incredible speed and precision. But in the wrong hands, that technology is fraught with peril. The name of the novel is Nano. It's a great pleasure to welcome Robin Cook to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure.
So we talked to you in this in our region, in this capital region, where nanotechnology has taken over. We are now known as Tech Valley. So much of our economy now is driven by this industry, this enormous industry of nanotechnology. For the subject of a medical thriller, what brought you to its doorstep?
Well, just the fact that nanotechnology is going to kind of sweep into medicine, kind of like a tidal wave, with amazing promise. But the downside is that nanotechnology really hasn't been subjected to the kind of safety, health, environmental testing that it deserves. Particularly now that it's going to be intruding into medicine, where it's going to be deliberately injected or implanted or absorbed or whatever. And that makes it, that puts it in a very different set of circumstances, I think, because really is much, much more imperative now that safety studies be given the attention that it deserves.
We obviously hear about nanotechnology, and as I said, especially in this region, but it is difficult to understand, and it is sort of difficult to explain because there are many facets to it. The medical side is, it is just one.
Yeah, that's right. It already, I think part of the problem is that, as you've alluded to, is that nanotechnology has already been so successful. It's made a lot of our products better, and it's in a lot of things that people have no idea it's in, and which is terrific in a lot of ways. But as I say, now that it's about to invade medicine, where it will be specifically put inside a body, the fact that there really hasn't been the kind of testing that ought to have been done. For instance, if you take the Nanotechnology Institute and the amount of money that the government has given to the study or helping nanotechnology, et cetera, to the tune of about $18 billion so far, less than 3% of that has actually gone into any type of safety testing or et cetera. And you can sort of understand why, because there's such an excitement, there's such a competitive environment that people really don't want to take the time to do the kind of safety testing. And the government is just not equipped to do it. And the FDA, for instance, the FDA, who is responsible for either pre-market or even post-market watch over of nanotech or products that have nanotechnology, they don't do the testing themselves. It's they rely on the manufacturers themselves to do the testing, and so it's just not being done. And to me, now that nanotechnology is about to come into medicine with such promise, at the same time, it's going to exacerbate, if there is going to be a problem, it's going to exacerbate that problem because of the deliberateness of putting nanotechnology into the body.
to get more specific in the book, you talk about that one of the reasons that we're using nanotechnology is to aid human endurance, to actually look at increasing our endurance and allowing us to do more incredible physical feats.
Well, yes, but in terms of the story, that is just something that they've decided that this organization that I've, this mythical organization that I've written about, is looking for a huge influx of dollars to support the research that it's really interested in. And that is interested in the research, particularly in terms of Alzheimer's disease, as a way of curing and preventing Alzheimer's disease. Now, that's really what they're really interested in. But they need this injection of enormous amount of money. And to get this money, the place that has the most amount of money in foreign reserves right now is China. To get the Chinese interested enough to support this company to the degree that it would like or need, they have to give them something. And we all kind of know that China is very interested in showing the world that it can compete in just about everything, including athletic events. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the way the Soviet Union felt back when the Soviet Union was intact, that performance in terms of athletics on the world stage was very, very important to them. And I think China has demonstrated a very similar feeling. And so that's what's going on in this book, that they'll do that, even though it's not something that they're really, truly interested in, but they're willing to do that to get the Chinese to really fund what they really want to do.
Because Zachary Berman, who is the founder and president of Nano LLC in your novel, as you mentioned, is looking to use nanotechnology to cure Alzheimer's disease, which of course is a noble goal. And you look at this and you do have to ask the question, is that possible? Is this something where nanotechnology can be used?
Well, I'm convinced it can. I think it will. As I said before, that the promise of nanotechnology in medicine is enormous, and I am enormously excited about it. What I'm not as excited about is the fact that they really haven't done the kind of testing that they ought to do, and it's because it's so successful so quickly, and all the research and development is being done behind closed doors. You know, I think recombinant DNA, the industry of recombinant DNA is somewhat similar in the sense that it also has proven to be enormously successful in terms of medicine, in terms of producing biologicals. But at the beginning, there was some concern using E. coli as a factory is what was the chances of creating a bug that could then get out, because E. coli is a major occupant or microbe in our digestive systems. And there was some concern about that, and actually a moratorium called for a while in order to investigate and be very sure that what they were doing was something that wasn't going to have negative consequences. That's not happening now, because nanotechnology is already too successful. It's already too spread out. The government has no real control over it. The only way it could have control over it is through the FDA. But the nanotechnology industry is so successful that it has a very, very strong and powerful lobby. And one can understand that they don't want to take the time right now to slow down and maybe investigate a little bit more, or put some appropriate amount of money towards testing. When you think if this safety issues is less than 3% of the money that the government has given to the industry to encourage it, I think that's really pretty small, and probably too small. And I think, and a lot of toxicologists agree with me that the whole reason that nanotechnology works, and it works because in the nano form, every element has completely different properties. It's different chemically, it's different physically, it's different optically, it's different electrically, and yet nobody wants to stop and say, well, we've used gold before, and it doesn't hurt the body in any way or form. In a nano form, gold is very, very reactive. And already there has been developed a kind of nanotechnology gold for carrying certain types of medications into the body. So that's why I felt that it was a perfect subject matter for a cookbook, because I could look on the dark side and get people to understand that there is a dark side. And we're just going willy-nilly down the hill on the sled, where I think it would be appropriate to spend a little bit more time and a little bit more effort in the government, particularly through the FDA and the EPA, to slow things down just a little to do the appropriate kind of testing, et cetera, that we would be then a lot more sure that of the safety.
It is an endlessly fascinating cookbook. Robin Cook is the author. The name of the novel is Nano. It's published by Putnam. Robin Cook, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.